Created with free version for non-commercial use.
I don't know how many would remember that Rav Lapiansky was actually our first Yarchik Hala Rav Rosh Hashiva to come, and it was in a much smaller side room in YBH, and K'nai Nohoi Baruch Hashem is a testimony to the wonderful people in this town. K'nai Nohoi, with the other shirim as well going on, what people do on the day off. It's a tremendous chus for us to be a part of this, and I want to thank all of you for giving us chizik and providing chizik, not just in Gashmius, but also in the chizik of to realize what a special community we're a part of. I want to thank the Rosh Hashiva for coming. It's actually directly on the way to the airport to go there itself for the chasna of an enikol. So he's not going to be able to stay for too long after. So please bear that in mind, and he apologizes before, and then he has to go quickly out. Yashikayach.
Not sure what greeting, what good day it is, but whatever it is, a happy Nittelnacht or Nittel Day, I don't know exactly what to... It's not good form to disagree with the master ceremonies introducer, but he says it's a testimony to the people community. That half is true. It's also a testimony of Chaim Krauss and what he's done over here. And as an outsider, I've seen it. And I want to say, yes, I've been a Nichnas V'Yoytze type of person, and you really see the amazing growth and things that were done and so on. So B'meila, I think an outsider sees things insider doesn't see, and a big Yashar Koyach, and it's a tremendous inspiration to see. Baruch Hashem, we try to do something similar by us, and Baruch Hashem, it's also being Matzliach. I wanted to speak, I guess it's a day of learning should be. So we divide up the time between a halachic inyan and an inyan a little bit about the teichen. The closest Jewish holiday is, or I won't say holiday, but the day, and a special day, is Asar B'Tevis. Asar B'Tevis gets short shrift because, you know, the 3 weeks, Shavuos V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av have their inyanim, Tainis Esther comes together with Purim, it's a Gedalia that's tucked in with Asar Mechuva. Asar B'Tevis stands, it's a little bit lonely in the winter, it's Nishtahin, Nishtaher, a sort of a bump on the map. And the truth is, there is a lot of Teuchen. There's a halachic Teuchen, and we'll speak a little about this, and then we'll speak a little about the Teuchen of what happened on that day. So I want to start, there's a famous tour, people might know it, there's a famous Chaim on it. I would like to explore the topic with a little bit of a different kinetic. The Torah says, it's in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, he speaks about Tanesim, and he says, V'imcholu b'Shabbos, nidochin ad acha Shabbos, that any tainus that falls out on Shabbos is pushed off after Shabbos. It's gemaras in different places. And that's what we do. Poikhazi, there's no tainus except for Yom Kippur, obviously. Even Tisha B'Av is pushed off. So the Beis Yosef brings an Avudram. V'Rab Rab Dovid Avram behilchis tainus, Shasara B'Tevis hu mishuna mishara tainus. Asara B'Tevis is unique. Shim hoya chal b'Shabbos, had it come out on Shabbos, it does not ever, but had it come on Shabbos, lo hoya chol nitchoysa leyoim acha. They couldn't possibly, you can't push it off. Why? Mipnei shenema be'etzem ayoim azeh. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, "Vayhi dvar Hashem elai b'shana atshis, b'chodesh asir b'asol achodesh lemor." There was a nevuah to Yecheskel on the chodesh asir b'asol achodesh. Ben Adam, k'soiv lecha eshem hayoyim, write down this day, es etzem hayoyim azeh, this very day, Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim be'etzem hayom hazeh. The Melech Bavel came and surrounded Yerushalayim on this very day. So the pasuk is madgish twice that this very, very day is the day that happened. Be'etzem hayom hazeh is a very strong lashon. So the Avodram says, it says be'etzem hayom hazeh kemoi b'yom ha'kippurim. Just like Yom Kippur, it says etzem hayom hazeh, so too asara b'teves. V'lo yadati ma'ayin lezeh. I don't know where he got this from. It's interesting, in the more modern tours, or I guess the modern tours bring back the old tours, Bitfort was Königsberg, Hetik Bishul Agilion, Zelushain Avudram. So in some places, they actually have it sort of attached to the Torah itself, but whatever it is, it's an Avudram Zashita, it's brought about, it's written down, and the Beis Yosef says, I don't know where he's coming from. There is a famous Reb Chaim in the Stencil speaks about it, but I think there's points missing in terms of understanding what is he addressing, which issue is he addressing, and so on. Let's try, everyone just asks, wow, that's very strange, like the Beis Yosef says, I don't know where it's coming from. I'd like to a little bit understand what the issues are, and then we can understand what the resolution is. What are the issues? First of all, we don't darshan be'etzem yom hazeh Yom Kippur that you can fast on Shabbos. Doesn't need a drasha, doesn't have a drasha, it's a milsa pshitasa. As a matter of fact, it's not even so clear where we know you can't fast on Shabbos. That's the part that's simple. We don't darshan it, and certainly we've never heard of a gzeirah shava from a Navi to a Pasuk, and never heard of a Rishon darshaning gzeirah shava on his own. I mean, that's one point. Where's he coming? What did he find in there? He found a drasha. There's no drasha like that. No gzeirah shava from Yecheskel to Torah, and no Gemara like that. So where's he coming from? So one question to be understood with Avudram is, what does he mean to shtel tzuti Yom Kippur? One. Two, Yom Kippur is a doraisa. So, in doraisa, we have two doraisas. There are different, one's got to override the other one, and we understand that it can override it. But on a drabonon, the Vesayfrim, drabonon, to override a doraisa, we never heard that would be deichet. Finally, Tisha B'Av is even a bigger L'chol HaDeis. Tisha B'Av is much more chomer than Asara B'Teves. Halachically, in every way possible, it's the only real Tainis Tziva we have today that has a tzura of a Tainis Tziva with Rechitza and Laila and Yom and all the different Inyanim is Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av doesn't get a day of its own, if Tisha B'Av does not take a Shabbos and we push it off, where in the world would Asara B'Teves come into the picture? Could it be Asara B'Teves would be, you'd fast on Shabbos and Tisha B'Av not? It's incredible. So there are really three sub-questions in the Beis Yosef's, I don't know where he's coming from. There's really three questions in that. There is one place that we do see something interesting that makes us think twice. The halacha is, it's been worked out in the calendar that Yom Kippur, you don't have Yom Kippur before Shabbos or after Shabbos, not on Friday, not on Sunday. And it has to do with entering Shabbos in a meuna, entering Shabbos in a way that you are a bitzar, betainis. There's a question, none of the other Tanesim are, you know, we're not doiched them to Friday, because Akdum Elavik Deminan, but we would never do it because of being the Une. We also, there are halachas about private halaymes, Yom Shabbos Be'aviv, a yard site and stuff like that. There are shaylas in the poskim about, do you bring the tainis tul Shabbos? Because of this problem, that it interferes with Shabbos. if you come in a fasting person Shabbos, a problem. Asar B'Tavis, as famously happens every so often, comes out on a Friday, and we don't care about it. So obviously there is an interesting difference that we do find. But B'chol Oifin, it needs a hesper. So Reb Chaim in the stencils, the way it's brought, and Maimon Muska, everyone understands what he wrote in the Sefer, he wrote in the stencils, it's never clear exactly where he said it, but more or less, he says something which the Milchas Chinuch says the point, and he really stells to that point. That's the same point that he uses to explain this. He says as follows. I'm not elaborating a bit, because again, the Sefer, it's written me Piashmur, but this is what he says. He says that any time, he says, the four Tanesim, if you take a look in the Pasuk, and if you take a look in the way it's brought in Halach, obviously, there's Tzom Asiri, Tzom Revi, the Tzomos that the Nevi'im were Koveya, that Rachom were Koveya, was on a month. Each one of them is Nogea a month, and there are actually sometimes machlokas in the Gemara, which day exactly. So the kiyum of the fast day, the kiyum of the tzom, is if you fast in that month, for that inyan. So if a person fasts in Tishrei for Gedalia Menachikam, that's a kiyum that they recipher. Later on, Chazal gave it a specific time and a specific day. And today, a person can't choose and pick his Tanesim. But Me'ikar Hadin, the Tainis itself, was Nikva on a month rather than a day. So B'Mela, there's no Avla for us to shift it around. Masha Ein Kein Asar B'Tavis. Asar B'Tavis is the Pasuk calls it Be'etzem Hazeh three times. Hayom, Es Etzem Yom Hazeh, and Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. The Pasuk seems to be extremely insistent that it be Shayach to a specific day. So B'Melo, when they were Koveya the Tainis, they were Koveya on a specific day. And since they were Koveya on a specific day, we don't move it around. That's Reb Chaim's, that explanation. So Milchas Chinuch says it by Richos in general. It doesn't talk about this point. And Reb Chaim talks about this point, that the reason why we have this kvias over here is because it's specific versus the other ones that are be'erich. So that is an interesting nafkemina. It's even a ger Tisha B'Av. The truth is Tisha B'Av doesn't have a day, because Tisha B'Av was spread over 2 days, and we actually do it on the day that was beginning, the Das Chalter person. So the etzem distinction, why Asar B'Tavis is different, the Manishtan of Asar B'Tavis, Reb Chaim addresses. He's not addressing the bigger issue. He's also not addressing what Avudram found in Yom Kippur. I mean, certainly the Tushal Yom Kippur is mind-boggling. So I'd like to understand it as follows. First of all, so we'd mention three questions. The first point is really there's no kasha on the Chachamim telling us to fast on Shabbos, because A, it's not clear what is the issue to fast on Shabbos. Both, whatever it is, it's not clear if it's the Reis or the Rabbanan. It's not clear if it's because it's a lack of Onik Shabbos, a lack of Suda, some say a lack of Mikra Kodesh. But in all of those cases, those are Sheval Taisis. Those are areas where we are, we're not doing something. And the Chachamim can be goes of a Sheval Taisa. A Shaila, if it says Mefurish, then can't they? There are some issues, but in the big picture, this question is not a question on Chazal. How could they do it? Chazal could make takanis that would prevent you from doing something like, we don't blow shayfa on Shabbos, We don't take lulav and esrog on Shabbos. No lack of sheval taisis that Chachamim made that as a mishmeres and you come out not doing the raisa. So the question is not really how could they do it. The question is why would they do it? In other words, Chazal wa koveya a certain day and so on. And b'meila, the question is they had a choice of being koveyed either for Shabbos or for another day. So why aren't they koveyed in a way that won't be on a Shabbos or whatever? So that's the first point, that there's no question of how could a Doraisa, the Rabbanan, be Docha Doraisa. The question is not on the practical halachic practice of not being misaning on Shabbos, but rather the question is why would they, and so on. One. Two. The different. What does it mean? What does Reb Chaim mean that there was a kpeda be'etzem yozeh, be'etzem yozeh? What is he aiming at? And I think going to the heart of what does he mean by Yom Kippur? So let's understand, there's a musig called kedushas hazmanim. Zman has certain kedushas, and lamashal, mikro kodesh is a zman that the zman is kodesh. And Shabbos is, the kedusha Shabbos, the Isim Loch is a certain kedusha Shabbos. There's one more place that you have where you say something is a result of the day, and you have by Shefa, Yom Tshua, Yom Zichron Tshua. Interesting, it's kilu to something about the Yom. They say over and again, I this was Torah Shabbat Pes, I don't vouch for it, that in Brisk, Rabbeinu Zichron Livracha used to listen to Tkiyah Shefas a lot, so part of it was, you know, never knowing for Yoytze, but he also held it to Yom Tshua. In other words, it's Avodas Hayom of Tshua. That's what someone told me. I don't vouch for it. But be it as it may, there's a Yonim of Kvod Hayom. That's a result of Kedushas Hazmanim. And there's a Yonim of Shvisas Melacha. Is a tainis a din in the Yoyim or not? Is there a Yoyim Tzoyim? Is tainis mitzdarif to Kedushas Hazmanim? So, one could go both ways, the Svara, but we have something called Yoim Tzoyim Kippurim Azeh. It's part of the Nusach that Chazal will kaveya. That it's the day is a day of Tainus. The Kedushas HaYoim of Yom Kippur is Tainus. And forget, you know, Chazal says, my Mechabda is Mechabda Ksusniki, and so on. But the Tzoyim itself, so just like there's a Mikra Kodesh, using it with Achil and Shtia, there's a Mikra Kodesh of Tzoyim also. That the Zman becomes Zman, and that's why we say Yom Tzoyim Kippur. That's the only way we could say it. There's a Shaila in Nedarim. If a person makes a Neder, there's a concept when you have two objects, and when you have two objects and you make a nether, you have a piece of shlomim meat, and you have a piece of regular meat, and you say this should be like this. It's called hatfasa. It's one of the basic building blocks of nedarim, and you say yes, you can transfer this kedusha to this kedusha. Let's say somebody else on a diet, and he's made a nether not to eat that meat. If I say this meat should be like that meat, doesn't mean anything. He happens to have a personal shavuot that he's not eating the meat. The meat itself that he's holding in front of him has no kedusha in it, has nothing. So the concept of saying this object like this object is meaningless. But if you say ki yom shemayspei gedalya ben achikam, if a person says today I will fast, I will make this day like tzom gedalya, like my yahrzeit. Litvish yahrzeit. Litvish yahrzeit is a different type of yahrzeit. And a person makes that comparison. The halacha is, that's called hatfasa. That's called that's called an object, so to speak. In other words, a day of tainis is not just a day where you happen to fast. Something is, something connects to the concept of the yom itself. There's a certain kedushas yom, certain zmanim of tainis. If somebody likes these things, the Rambam puts hilchas tainis in zmanim. It's practical, yes, it's a day on the calendar, but you could have put in hilchas tefillah. Really, hilchas tainis is an extension of tefillah. Most the real tainis, the tainis kesham and so on, it's really an elaborate form of tefillah, tshuva, the way the Rambam says. The answer is no. It's a zmanim type of thing. It's something which has shaykh to zman. So, David Rome says, if the Torah calls Yom Kippur, if the inui is be'etzah Yom Hazeh, and it's fascinating, the Rambam calls it Shvisas Oser. In other words, the fasting is part. It's like a Shabbos. It's just like there's a day of abstention from work. There's a day of abstention from eating. So that's part of the Kedushas Hazman. It says Kitshut Tzoyim, Kira Tzara. There's a Kedusha, and the day itself becomes a Yom of Tzoyim, just like there's a day of Kedusha. So too, we find, so you see in Yom Kippur that there's a Musik of a day of Tzoyim. So the Abu Dram says, if that's true, then it's possible, once a day is a Shem of a Yom Tzoyim, then it's not a kasha why that day that's there and Shabbos is not there. We didn't have a problem with Rabban and the Raisa because they could do Shabbat Taisa. His main shaila was, why be Koveya the Tainis? So what he's saying, and I'm using Reb Chaim Svar, but I'm explaining it in a certain way. Wherever we have, I'm a chiyuv to fast for the Beis Hamikdash Chorban. That's a chiyuv tainus. I have a chiyuv tainus to do that. The Chazal said you have to fast some point and be misabel, just like the Dinei Avelos. So Chazal could have been koveh at one day, another. They pick the day that's closest, that's moshayach, that's ascholos, apurnus, whatever it is. But they never gave it a day of something. So the other Tanaisim, because of the nature, it's not because Tisha B'Av is less chomer than Asar B'Tavis. The inyan of the Tainis didn't need to shtel tzut a particular time. It was a Tainis on the Chorban. Whenever I fast on Tisha B'Av, if it comes out on Tisha B'Av, if it comes out on Yud, it comes out on Aleph, whichever day it comes out on, that's the day that I'm fasting as a zeich, as a zikaron for the Beis Hamikdash. The Pasuk, for whatever reason, we don't have to know, the Pasuk here says that this was something that was miyuchad to this zman of Beit Samir Mazer. So what Chazal did with this tainis, as opposed to the other one, they made it a din in the yoyim. They gave it a certain kedushas hazmanim, let's call it, whatever you call it, certain designation of zman, that this would become a yoyim tzayim, and similar, analogous to Yom Kippur, which is a Yom Tzoyim. And that's why Yom Kippur is, on Shabbos Yom Kippur, today is a Yom Tzoyim. That's the Kedushas HaYom. So Chazal made that over there. So the point is, let's sum up the points that we made. David Ram was not bothered by the issue as to why would we do it? He was not bothered by the issue of how Chazal could do it. He was bothered by the issue. You see by other Tanaisim that we're kaveh the day that's most appropriate. So we don't do it Friday, we don't do it Sunday. We push off Friday and Sunday also because it's Shabbos consideration. So Baal Karchach, those in Yanim are, I need to fast, lezeich this. So as long, lemashal, the tiniest that we have for Tzaris, is it limited to a specific day? So Rachman al Tzlan at Tzorah came on Sunday or Monday. If it's easier to fast on Thursday, the next week, whatever it is, as long as we designate this day is for this Tzorah and the Tfilos are for that, that's a key of those tiniest. Masha'enke, Masorah B'Tavis, Chazal didn't make a tiniest in memory of that. They were kaveh the day, since the Pasuk is Madgish, three times one Pasuk, the Pasuk is Madgish that there's some sort of inyan of the Yoyim. So b'meila, Chazal said that that's the appropriate way to mark it, and they marked the day as a Yom Tzayim. The Melo Malif at Shabbos leharayah from Friday and Sunday, but if even if it's Shabbos, it also come out. Then I think would be a way to explain the Davud Roham and where it's coming from and its Tushdel. So I'm using Reb Chaim's thought process, but I'm trying to apply and explain exactly how it comes out in this case over here. That's mitzad halachic, a unique halachic facet of Aser B'Teves. All it does is it hints at something unique about Aser B'Teves. It tells us there, yes, there's a certain knach to it that's more chomer, and that's what Chazal made it a yom. But what is that inyan? And that's what I'd like to a little bit to spend some time thinking a little bit about the inyan of the day itself. It says, Ben Adam, Sodom Hashem Ayoim Es Esim Azeh, Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim Besim Azeh. So, the word Samach over here means, he came and surrounded the city. So, I'd like to ask myself a little bit of a Shailas Tam. What's the unique feature? Let's go slowly. You have when you burn down the Beis HaMikdash. We understand that. Broke through the city. That's the first breach. That I understand. Surrounding the city. So it's another step in the military victory. So you could also, if you wanted to, you could say as soon as the army left Bavel and moved to Eretz Yisrael. As soon as they landed in Eretz Yisrael. You know, every military victory has in itself many, many steps. So, I mean, in the double safe. Mela, when you actually were pogea, when you actually broke through the lines, and you broke through the wall, the hufker, yes, makes, that's unique. But what is it about the mutzer that this is a point that we need to mark? This is really, this in a certain sense is the beginning of the end, and so on. We tend to think of a siege. If you ask somebody, what's the problem of the siege? The problem of the siege is you don't get food, you don't get water, you know, or your supply is down, and without food and water, you'll die. So imagine somebody has an impregnable wall that is impossible for the enemy to break through, but I'm going to run out of food and water at some point, and I won't be, you know, and then it's over. One of the fascinating things of Yerushalayim, when they looked for the old city of Yerushalayim, they kept looking on top of the hill and they couldn't find anything. Archaeologists couldn't find anything, and they didn't know what to make of it. I don't know if by accident of design, they looked down by the Me'ad Shiloach, and they found the wall there. And they were shocked that why would you make the walls around a city on a low point, where you obviously are making yourself much more vulnerable. And then they came with a very good svara. They said, that was the water supply. A city without a water supply doesn't exist. So b'meila, if the wall is not going to take around the water supply, it's not going to exist. So muskel rishon, the first thought, the problem seems to be the lack of supplies. Chazal, about Bayis Sheni, seem to say not like that. When they speak about Yerushalayim, with Titus, they say that they had three wealthy people, and they had enough food and stuff there to keep the city going for a long time. In other words, the mashmalos of the Gemara is the Roman army would have tired out long before they would have been able to penetrate the walls because they had enough supplies to last. What happened was, in second bias, our Kanoim burnt it down, and that's where everything fell apart. So the Kanoim are always to blame. The question is who the Kanoim is. But the Kanoim are always to blame. That's the takeaway from it. But what you see is a siege in itself can't really harm you if you're well supplied. So if you can manufacture water from the air somehow, from the humidity, and you can have food stored up, this and that. So what is the siege? So there's a Rashi says, a fascinating Rashi. It's a Rashi in Yeshaya. The pasuk compares. Pasuk speaking about Rishayim. It says people sitting in their graves. Hayoshim bakvarim ubanitzurim. They are in the graves and surrounded. Natsur is like the word besieged. The ones in the graves and besieged. So Rashi says, "Hem pigrei mesim." These are dead carcasses. Sheheim kinesunim b'matzar. People in a grave are like besieged people. Sheeinam yecholim lotzeis, because they can't leave. In other words, the real death sentence of matzar, nitzurim, matzar, is because you can't leave. Not because you can't get supplies in, you could be self-sufficient, but any time you're encircled and you are totally surrounded, there's not going to, that's called Misa. So let's talk a little bit about trying to understand what that Rashi means. The Akadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and every Bri in the world we tend to think of as being, as its goal is being self-sufficiency. In other words, a Bal Chai is able to find its food, its shelter, protect itself, and so on. And death ensues when something breaks down or whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave the ability to, for certain things, to reproduce, to produce, and that's a bonus. So you have everything in the world is complete when it's self-sufficient and it survives, and it is, some have a unique little extra feature that they can be para and rava, they can be misrab and so on and so forth. That's a very shallow understanding of the Bria. When Rachel Imenu says, "Havli banivim ayin mesa nochi," if I don't have children, I am going to die. Chana said, "Shadayim ayilu lama and rechem zelama." Akadosh, the koach of being para v'rava, the koach of being mashpia, of going out to those brias, to those balechayim, and to that chai, that's its koach. It's not a tosefes. It's not an addition. I survive and I also produce more. Like you have imagine somebody has money. If a person has money that he needs to keep safe, so he puts it away somewhere in a big metal box, and there's a lot of derabas, there's this, that. A year later, San Kaskin says, "Baruch Hashem, it's safe and sound." Exactly. You gave me $100,000, here it is, counted, wonderful. If, let's say, I invest with somebody $100,000, and come back a year later, I have great news for you, your money is safe and sound, here's $100,000 back. That's not, there's no real sense of simcha. Unless you've gotten to know this person, you know there should be a simcha that got back to 100,000. But on a normal circumstance, an investment is not a way to keep money plus a little toaster up on the side as that. It's there to be part of a rava. Any bria that a Kaddish Baruch Hu put into the world as a mashpia, then its essence is ashpa. It's not an addition. I exist to exist. So how could Rachel Menas say, "Mesa nochi"? She's a wonderful, healthy woman doing wonderful things. She happens not to have children. No. If a woman and if the Imohos, if Rachel Imenu is created as Imenu, and she's not being mashpia, she's not having children, then she ceases to exist. One of the forms of Tzar Bala Chaim that halachically is mater in certain Hill Shabbos is giving milk for a behemoth that has to give milk. If it can't give the milk, it's called Tzar Bala Chaim. The teva of people is that if a person is not, thank you, that if a person is, if a, when you stop giving milk, you no longer are able to give. If there's nobody to nurse from you, you stop giving milk. That's the teva. So the tzura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the bria of a mashpia the mashpia as a mashpia is the ikar, and everything else is a platform for the hashpah. So when Chazal said over here, I mean, Chazal also termed it in Talmud Torah. Chazal said, "Yoseh mima she'egel roitzel linoik hapor roitzel lahanik." Chazal described that situation in terms of Torah. A Rebbe in a Talmud is not just the pshat. The Rebbe has learned a lot. He can also teach. For a person who lives Torah, the teaching is the same need to be mashpia. Not the point, but Chazal gives us about Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish, that Rabbi Yechon was a prized Talmud. When he died, Rabbi Yechon stopped functioning. The people who are mashpiyim, hashpa becomes their mitzias, and they can live without it. Yerushalayim. It says, Yerushalayim is not the makom of that is the holiest place in the world. It says Bein Shaddayich Yolin. It says that the two poles of the Aron stuck out. You know, didn't stick out from Peruchus, but there was an indentation indicating the two poles. Kedugma Shnei Shaddayim. In other words, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the place that is Meinik. It's the place that gives hashpah to the world. And the hashpah comes out to the world from there. It's the Kodesh, the Beis HaMikdash is not meant to be a holy spot. It's meant to be the place that brings and is mashpia kedusha to the world around and so on. That's the metzias of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim. It's tel talpir, tel shakol poineler. It's the tail, it's the place that everyone looks to receive enlightenment, kedusha, his alos, all those inyanim. When you encircle it, you strangle it. There's a fascinating, Neisoscha brings a Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a small, probably, it's from Avraham Avinu, Torah, and he brings on every month, he brings, what are the kochos of that month? What are the special kochos of that month? And every month has its own things. And the Chassidus, some of the Chassidus firm darshan every month repeat tzaddik. They talk about it. It's what shevet is dominant that month, what mazel is dominant that month, what chun of a person. One of the things that are brought is the letter in the aleph base that is the dominant letter. The dominant letter for Tevis is samach. The letter samach is a stranglehold. And it's, I mean, the pasuk says samach melech bavel. I mean, you can't hear it better than that. Melech bavel came and put a samach around the city. And that was it. So Yerushalayim was its own little isolated village. It gave nothing to the world. So just like the Gemara calls it kvunos, when they wanted to stop a cow from milking, whatever, they would bind up its udders, and it would if it couldn't give milk, it would stop producing milk. That was the metzias of that matzah. It's fascinating. There are two places in the Torah that speak about the concept of a matzah, of a siege surrounding. One of them is two places. One is in Parashas Shoftim, where it speaks about when Klal Yisrael goes to war against other nations, and you put a matzah around the city. You besiege a city. You shouldn't destroy an eitz pri, an eitz that gives payers. Baltashchis is an iser gadol. We were told baltashchis in school, right and left, even things that gave no payers whatsoever. Everything was baltashchis. Baltashchis applies to anything that's useful. It's not payers, and there is a specific halachas about taking down an eitz pri, but in a water sense, and what is it? Why is matzer? Why is the situation of payer stuff because with matzah, yes, it's one of the situations where you, but when a person is evading the land, so you do a scorched earth policy and you burn everything down. That's miyuchid in logically. The answer is, it's shayach to it. There's one other place that matzah is mentioned. It's mentioned two or three times in the same parasha, and it is in the Teichacha. And it says like this. It says, Rachmana Litzlan. People, v'achalta, twice this pasuk comes up, v'achalta pre-bitnecha, psar b'nechasecha, you will consume your own children, the pre-bitnecha, asher noscha Hashem akecha, b'matzar u'v'matzok, asher yotzcha evecha, when you will be surrounded by the enemies. And then it says, again, u'b'shol yosa yitzim ragleo v'nech she'teileit, kiseich mosuk avasosa, b'matzar u'v'matzok yotzcha evecha. So Chazal over here mentioned, so the Pasuk, the three places in the Torah where the word matzah is mentioned, all of them have to do with the peiros. We consume our own peiros, Rachman al-San, terrible klala, and it's because of the matzah and the matzok, and when we come even to an enemy city, there's halakim of the Bria that are bali peiros. And those balei peiros should not suffer from the matzah, because a baal peiros is the one who suffers naturally the matzah. I want to try to take this nekuda down a little bit to us, to in general, and so on. So Asura B'Tavis is unique, because if we ask ourselves, how do I identify a unique turning point on a Sarabatavis, that's not just along the continuum. The enemy landed, the enemy got close, the enemy was within firing range, the enemy surrounded, until breaking through. The enemy destroyed our capacity to be mashpia, our capacity to project Kedusha. That is, for Klal Yisrael, for Beis HaMikdash, that is strangulation. Because if im ayin meis anochi, let's understand a little bit, I guess just a few minutes on being misvoting a little bit on some of its ramifications. We tend, when we're living life, we have so much on our plate, and we talk about keeping Torah mitzvahs. We hope that we will stay okay. The idea of growth, personally, let's go step by step. When a person learns, I once had a conversation, two or three times in my life, I had a conversation with the Nesiv HaShalom. And then the Sodom Rebbe, and he said, it says by that if you learn two halachas from somebody, you're supposed to be mechaber mezerav. So, v'afilu David shalilomat ela shtei halachas bilvad from Machitofel, he still was mechaber him. So he was medayik. What is the word bilvad? Two halachas bilvad. So he said over, I don't remember whose diyuk it was. I don't remember. He said it over for somebody. He said, be'emes in Torah, there is no such thing as bilvad. Because the words he used was, Torah is pora v'rovedik. Torah increases. If I have two Rambams, I have a kasha, I have a shaila, I have a teretz. Torah has a way of growing. These two are miyuchdik halachas that did not have it. Bilvad is a qualifier that normally Torah is not bilvad, it's never bilvad. In this case, it's sort of what was, you know, it was something that was mitzumtzum. Learning. So when we're in yeshiva, we tend to think of steiging, of growing. The histaklus, and I want to mention, this is coming on the yahrzeit of my Rebbe Moshe Shapiro's Chanan Vracha, this is Asar B'Tavis, and it's a very fitting topic and thing. How much we learn from Moshe. One thing I can say is, he opened up to the idea of Torah gushing. I could never look again at a Chazal and package it and say, oh, this is what Chazal says, and this is it, and, you know, kimurach bekufsa. Nothing was known as bekufsa, it's like a plant. You can't package a plant, it grows. If it has the right, whether it's in lomdus and learning, whether it's in depth, and oimik of Chazal and psukim, Torah itself has that quality. Halavai, you know, I know it's hard, and halavai, we hold on to whatever we have, but that occasionally a person feels that Torah itself was mashpia, Torah itself moved and grew. It wasn't kept in a chokehold of how we understood it at 15, we understand at 50, but the person allows himself to open his mind and to let Torah flow out. That's one area, and yes, it requires a certain straining and doing. I understand that. Another place, and I think this, we don't understand the koach we have to be mashpia on other people, and if we would be focused on it, when a person does something good in a community. One of the reasons why everybody is here today is because everybody's here today. It's very hard when you walk in and somebody's sitting alone in a chavrusa, you feel a little guilty. And if the person occasionally comes in, it's okay. But if a person is there consistently, it makes other people feel uncomfortable. That's a very good uncomfortable. And you're mashpia. If a person sits and does not talk during davening, he sits and davens quietly. So he doesn't have to say anything, but if he's consistent and this is him, it makes other people uncomfortable around him. Shouldn't feel uncomfortable with the other person. But I think Benoch Haver is Mechayev, you should make the other person uncomfortable. We are Mashpiyim when we do what's right, for the right reason, and consistently. When a person does things for the wrong reason, because this guy is a nudik anyway, and I like to sort of let him have it for talking during davening, that becomes a mixture of way too many things, and it's usually counterproductive. But if I do my things seriously, consistently, I become a mashpia. We don't understand the koyach that a person has. A person is created with a chi of a peri v'rivya. It's not only children. It's peri v'rivya k'dusha. It means that whatever we are, whatever we have, we're mashpia. And it's, if we do it in a way that is consistent, robust, you know, and so on, it begins to have ashpa. And if a person understands that, sometimes a person has a shaila, I'm very tired, should I come to the Beis Medrash or not? There is room to make a cheshbon nefesh and say, if it was just me and the walls, maybe going to sleep down, learning some other time would be more productive. But what effect does it have on other people? Nobody knows that I had a particularly hard day and was up all night. So it sort of creates the opposite of ashpa, a negative ashpa, has to show. Unfortunately, we tend to think that the only people that are mashpia in the world are rabbanim, rosh yeshivas, and so on. It's not true. Adarab, the truth is that the klal is mashpia more than any particular person. It's just that it's spread out. Yes, you have one particular person that's teaching, so you have more focused and concentrated ashpa. But in terms of having a real effect, the effect that changes people in society is people in society. When there's ashpa of kedusha coming from people, it flows out and it affects things in ways that are much more profound than what anybody from the outside, what that a speaker can do, that a teacher can do. Klal Yisrael's mahus is, or legoyim, Klal Yisrael's mahus is people that are mashpia. The goyim have a chiyuv of loisoya bra, l'shev zitzara. There's a chiyuv to sort of, avarim had that chiyuv, but minimally. It's a chiyuv sort of to keep the world. A Klal Yisrael has a chiyuv of peri v'riva, meaning to flower, to bloom, to bring out things. And when you choke that, when all we're doing is a person is surviving. One of the reasons I grew up in the 50s, 60s, and, you know, there was an orthodoxy that desperately tried to hold on to by holding on to a shul. There was a shul, and there was a rabbi, and there was programs, and those places that didn't have yeshivas and didn't have vibrant Torah, unfortunately, dried out. And the difference was because the type of structure that a synagogue had was a frozen structure. You are what you are, and this is who you are, this is what you should be. It doesn't, it dries out. when you went to yeshivas, all of a sudden you grew, you understood more, you understood better, you understood deeper. There was a flow. There was a flow of energy coming out. And that was mashpia. And Baruch Hashem today that we have makomos like this, we have so much chiyus and so much things happening. That's because there was a shift, a paradigm shift from preservation to perivirivi, to hashpa, to more, to better, to growing. I know it's difficult. I know there's so many things when a person is also in derech eretz, there's so many things going on and it's hard, but at least understanding that at the core, the holiest place in Klal Yisrael is a place of Bein Shaddayach, where I mean, if you think about it, the makom that our shaychus to Kedusha was hashpa, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was beholden from us, but it was mashpia out. Every single person in his avoda is a mashpia. When you stop, that's the beginning of the end. That's Asar B'Tavis. Be'ez Hashem, our tikkun to Asar B'Tavis is that we shift and we understand that whatever a yid does, it's what he does is important, but the hashpa that it has, we're all mashpiyim, we should be mashpiyim, everything toiv that we do has in itself, and it's pir v'rividik. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoicha that stranglehold loosen, and Be'ez Hashem, process taste of Yerushalayim will be open, be mashpia, and or legoyim like it's supposed to be, and a telltale piece. Thank you. Thank you.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.